Welcome to the House of Manna. Thank you for downloading the podcast. We pray that it's a blessing to you. We thank you that you are tuning in to the message this week from the House of Manna. As Pastor Marty begins to minister to you in this message, let it be a blessing unto your spirit and to your soul. God bless you. Hope you enjoy.
Down! How am I going to back you up? Calm down. Calm yourself. How am I going to back all that up? I was like, oh, yay. He's calming down now. Now I could step in. Amen? Woo! I'm excited. Y'all need to be excited that the Lord is speaking order. He's speaking order to you. Amen? You know why? He's about to bless you. He wants to bless you. Get yourself in order. Whatever he's telling you to do, get in order. Order. The Lord says order in the house of God. Order in your household. Order in your mind. Amen? The Lord is speaking order. Ask him, what order, Lord? What order, Lord? What order do I need to take, God? What order? What do you want me to do? I'll do it step by step. And that's how the Lord is doing it. Step by step. Amen? That's what the Lord is doing in this house. That's what he's doing in my house, my personal household. That's what he's doing. And I'm saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want my blessings, Lord. I'm tired of the old. I want the new. How am I going to get the new, Lord? How am I going to get the new? I'll fast. I'll pray, Lord God. What you want from me, God? Oh, that? Okay. All right. All right. Let me give that to you, Lord. Let me line up that with you, God. What's next? What's next? What's next, Lord? I'm right here. What? And he tells me. And then you do it. Obedience. And then what comes? What's trickling in? What does he want you to do? What is trickling in your life? What is the promises of God? That's what he's trying to trickle in your life. He's tired of the tired people. He's tired of our cries. You, it's up to you to change, to put things in order in your life. That's what he's speaking to the house of Manna. That I believe that's what he's speaking to the body of Christ. Who are we? We are victorious. We're conquerors. We are the head, not the tail. And we're walking around like if we're the head and we're defeated. No more. God says, I have drawn the line and it's time for order. Order, the judge says. Order in the court. Order in the court. Order in the court. And what happens? What happens? We get in order. And you know what? When the Lord says, order in your house, order in your body, order in your mind, order in the walk, your purpose, order. What do you do? What, Lord? How? How can I get in order? What do I need to do? Because I don't want to live the way I used to. I don't want this year to be like last year. I want different. And you know what? I'm going to get it. Because I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. No matter how hard it is, I said, yes, Lord. Enough is enough. No more. When you look at me, you're going to see me victorious. Woo! You're going to see me more than a conqueror. You're going to see me that I am the head, not the tail. That's what you're going to see in my life. Amen. And that I'm victorious. Order. What is the Lord speaking to you? It could be the most minute little thing. The most minute little thing. What are you going to do? And you say, nope. And just like Pastor said, those of you that say no, you're going to see the glory of God go right by you. And you're going to see people getting their breakthroughs. You're going to see people getting blessed. You're going to see the word of God manifesting in their life. And what are you going to do? You're going to be angry. You're going to be angry. And you're gonna be haters. Don't be hating on me if you see the manifestation of the Lord on me. Don't be angry. Don't be haters. Who's going to be a hater? Who's going to be disobedient? Ask yourself, are you going to be disobedient? Are you going to be the ones watching? Oh, well, they only got it because they're pastors. It's for all of us. Newsflash. It's for all of y'all. Everything that the promise of God... Oh, where is it? Oh, no Bible. Hello. How can we be in the house of God no Bible? I need a Bible. Thank you. All the promises of God that are in here, yes and amen. And you can have it if you want it. Do you want it? You can have it. It's free. You don't even got to pay for it. It's free. You can get the word of God another way in prayer. Get in prayer. Fast. Ask God, how can I get my life in order? He's going to tell you real quick. Just do it. Do it. Take that one step. Just like Eric said, he didn't even write the tithe. He didn't even do anything. He just said it. Yes, Lord, I will. Next thing you know, he's going on vacation. What? I ain't hating because I know God is good. And he's faithful. And he will make a way out of your no way. Amen. So anyway, you know, everybody here knows that I hate talking in front of people. I do. I don't like it. And you know what? That's me getting in order. I need to get in order in the house of God. I always told my husband, I'm your cheerleader. I'm your number one fan. I'm going to pray you through the services. I'm going to be your cheerleader. I'm going to whatever I need to do. All right. So then he tells me, okay, you're going to deliver the message. And then I was just like, well, not that. Not that. You're doing good. But you know what? I said, yes, Lord. You know that famous phrase, practice makes perfect? Well, Wednesday, I was trying to deliver a word, and all of a sudden, my mind went blank. And I'm talking, I'm done. And I just said, I hit a brick wall. But I didn't know how to close myself. I didn't know how to do any of that. And when I'm at home, and the Lord says to me, you know? And then I looked at Pastor Murray, I was like, see, why can't I do that here at home? But why, what happens in church? Everything you want to say, you don't say. And I felt foolish. You know, I felt like, oh, my God, why did I end like that? You know? And that's what he does. He just laughs at me. He just goes. And, you know, when he's going like that, Lord, why did you put her with me? Just kidding. No, but anyway, I just, you know, I got alone with God because, hello, that's what we need to do. We can't, people just can't always tell you what to do. You know, like I go to him all the time. What do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? What do you think? You know, and that's the way we've always been. But how many times you hear, get God for yourself? We're too busy listening to all these different channels, all these different preachers, because you're looking, God, where are you? He says, I'm here. Come to me. Come to me. You know what? Nobody else can minister to you like God can. There's no comparison. And if we would just take a few minutes to get alone with God, you know what? Maybe that might be an order that y'all can take in your mornings. God is first. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of God and everything shall be added. What does that mean? It means seek him. Then when you seek him, he's going to talk to you. Then he's going to guide your footsteps. And then everything shall be added on. Your peace. Lord, how am I going to get through this? He's going to tell you. He's going to get that peace in you. You know, God is not our enemy. God is for us. He ain't against us. We need to get that revelation. We think he's mad at us all the time. He's not mad at you. Amen? So anyway, what we're talking about is order in the house, okay? And you guys have to seek God on your own because he could be telling me something and something different for you. But guess what? There's purpose for that. There's purpose for us seeking God on our own. And then what's going to happen is we're going to all come together and accomplish what that purpose is. Amen? So y'all get it right. Get it tight. Amen? I still need these readers, Lord. I'm just kidding. All right. All right. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supported ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work. Amen. So I already talked to you guys about this Wednesday, and it's the body just coming together for one purpose, and that purpose is God's purpose. Amen? And every single one of us that is in here is needed. Somehow, some way, nobody's purpose is better than the others, so get it right. All right? Don't let the enemy come in your ear say, oh, well, I just do this. You're needed. And that's what he's asking of you. Just be obedient. That's the key word right there. Obedient. Because he wants to do what? He wants to bless you. And he wants his purpose to be accomplished. Amen? Okay. And then Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord delights in his ways. So as he's guiding your footsteps, he's delighting in your ways because you're being obedient to him. Right, right. Amen. And he's delighted because he knows they're getting it. They're getting there. Yeah. But guess what? The house of man of the Lord has drawn the line. He wants to bless us. But we got to get in order. And that's what's taking place in the house of manna. And like I said, I can't stress it enough. Every single one of you is needed. Y'all are here for a purpose. Don't run away from it. Stay put until God tells you to go. And God will speak to Pastor Marty, and he'll know whether or not if it's time for you. There's purpose here. There's something that the Lord wants to do, and it's all good. It's all good. Amen? there's... See that? That's what I got to overcome. I gotta know how to close. So I told Marty, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get it. And I don't care how foolish I look, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to learn how to close and then introduce Pastor Marty again. Instead of saying, oh, I'm done. I can't. But you know what? I think he's just doing this, you know, because I need to learn, right? This is my line of business. Hello. So, but his purpose... His purpose is greater than what I perceive and what I see. Amen. And he works in multiples. He's working with my fear again, from speaking in front of people. He's working, you know, me getting more in the word. He's accomplishing a lot of things with just me being up here. But why? Why? He knows. But it ain't, you know, I don't need to know why. I just need to be obedient. Amen. Even though you don't understand, that's why he said, lean not on your understanding, because you ain't going to understand. Just trust. Just trust. And you know what? All of us, we don't like that. We don't like that. We don't like when we don't know what's going on. We don't like that feeling. You know, we like to know what's going on. But you know, anyway, what I was going to tell you is Pastor Marty's going to be traveling. And why can't he look at me and say, you got it? And have that peace of mind. She got it. She got it. I ain't got to worry. I'm going where the Lord has called me to go. So that's why I'm up here. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. So, that's all I have to say, okay? And Pastor Marty's coming up here. Come on, babe. Come on. I mean, come on, Pastor Marty. You're my babe afterwards.
Come on. I want you to just look at Pastor and I say, you got it. She got it. She didn't just get it. She took off running with it. I told her on Wednesday, I said, you got it. She said, yeah, but what about that brick wall? I said, we all have them. Some of them we learn to climb. Others we learn to go through. God knows what you need when you need it. Does he not? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to finish off. This is going to be part two of teamwork. There's three practical steps for effective teamwork. When I was working for American Airlines, when the Lord brought my very precious helpmate to me, because I interviewed her when she walked in and I had an agenda. What's your name? But God had a bigger plan, and I thought it was my agenda. God says, I know what you need when you need it. If you just trust me, you're not only going to hire her, you're going to prophesy to her. Huh? What's that? So grab hold of her hips and tell her you're going to give her, she's going to give you a son. And she looked at me, you better not be talking to me like that. I said, you're going to give me a son. See my son back there? Oh, he put his head down real quick back there. And that's our son. Now watch this. I thought it was just my plan. God said, no, I got a plan. And that Isaac back there, his name is not Isaac. Okay. But that Isaac is going to go on the altar, and you're going to trust me. God, I ain't saved yet, so what are you talking about? He says, when you come to get to know me, you're going to learn how to trust me. And then not only are you going to learn to trust me, you're going to learn how to obey me. I'm going to put your Isaac on the altar, but watch what I'm going to do, because Isaac goes on the altar. So when my son died, yeah, that one back there, they said he was going to be a vegetable, that he was never going to walk again, talk again, or eat again. Mijo, stand up. Yeah, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. See, God had a plan. Through his death came our resurrection. And the Lord says, I have a plan because I'm ordering your steps. You may not understand it right now, but I'm ordering your steps. So the only thing I could cry out to God was, don't take them unless I see his eyes and he sees that daddy was there. And then if you take them, then take them and I'll be okay. But if you give them back to me, I'm yours to the day I go home with you. Walk into Wolford Hall and I see him on the gurney and he turns his head and looks at me and I can see his eyes. And that's when I said, God, if you need to take them, take them. But if you give them back to me, I'm yours. We stayed 14 days in the ICU unit there. We never left the room. We stayed there. And one day, my dad comes up to me and he says, before it gets better, it gets worse. Are you hearing this, people? Before things get better in your life, it gets worse. Joe, put your right hand on her right there. Put your right hand on her right next to you. Right next to you. It's going to get better, baby. Amen. It's going to get a lot better. Yes, you won't have to fear no more, says the Spirit of the living God. You're worried about the family, the arguments, and you're worried about all the stress that's been happening. Watch as God's going to turn that around because God says it's getting better. Amen. I bless you, love. I bless you. In that hospital, the Lord, I looked over at Inez and I told her, we need to go pray for these people. And she said, who are you? What'd you do with my husband? Started praying for people in the hospital right there. And I had just got saved at that moment. No, real salvation, not the one you come and cry because you're a sinner. Real salvation is when your heart is inclined to God. Amen. And start praying for people in the hospital that very moment. My whole vernacular changed. Quoting scriptures that I had never read before. My wife was looking at me like, mother-in-law, who is that? Everything changed. See, God has a plan when he orders your steps. Just walk it out. You may not know how it's going to turn out, but if it's in God's hand, just know it's working for your good. Amen. The team that makes the dream work, your efforts and talents are needed. Yes. Three practical steps for effective teamwork. Number one, the team members must care for one another. Yes. You understand that? Yes. Look over to your teammate next to you and say, you matter to me. You matter to me. You matter to me. I want you to say it to the next person. Look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. You matter to me. Now, the person receiving that, did you feel it? Some of you are like, I don't know who it is, but they looked at my forehead. They didn't look at my eyes. You've got to care for the people. Amen? Have you ever been like on like a canoe? This is a canoe. And somebody in front of you is the one supposed to help you get to where you're going in the canoe, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a hole in front of the person that's sitting in front of you in the canoe. And they're working feverishly to get that water out, right? But the guy in the back is saying, thank God that hole's not on my side of the boat. You didn't get that one? You didn't get it? Because that hole, no matter where it's at, it's going to sink unless both of you put the effort to get rid of it. Someone has to plug it. The other one has to get rid of the excess. And then someone has to say, you know what? Now it's time to move on. And this is what God is saying. Everything has a hole in your walk. But you can't look at somebody else's hole in their path and say, thank God that ain't my hole. It is your hole. We are our brother's keepers. We need to help everybody make it through. Put down your oar, pick up a cup, get rid of that excess. And you start saying, you know what? You're going through, but I'm going to pray you through. I'm going to help you. I got issues. When you see my issues, don't tell me. Pray. Don't tell me that I'm a sinner. When you're a sinner too, help me. Help you. We work together as a team. Oh, thank God that hole's not on my side of the boat. Hijo, nombre. You're going down too. I don't have to work that hard. It's on his side. You get it out. You sat there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do we not? You think that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My side, mira, is nice and clean. Hey, my side is waxed. You didn't clean your side. Right? That's a good, right? That's good. Okay, let me get y'all in y'all's bedroom a little bit. Quit looking over at your spouse and saying, you know what? You should have cleaned your side. Why you only make your side the bed? You didn't make my side the bed. How come you didn't tuck the edges in the bed with the sheet underneath? You know, you only tuck your side in, but you didn't tuck my side in. How come you only vacuumed downstairs but not upstairs? How come you only wash your car and not my car? What'd you like? Watch it. I know, right? How come you only like to cook when you are cooking your food? Cricket, cricket, right? How about helping me all the time? But baby, I love you. I love you. You're supposed to serve me. I said, really? Really? So in Genesis, here's the first mention of teamwork. It's in Genesis 2 when God tells Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? You ain't supposed to be alone. He's supposed to help each other. Genesis 2. Supposed to be helping each other. Helping each other. You know, mijo. You help. You help, okay? You help. She shouldn't have to be chasing you down because all the girls are after you and stuff. Hey, mijo, get in here! She shouldn't have to do that. And I don't know if that's going on. I'm just playing with you. Calm down, calm down. She's looking at me like, it is. Okay. Okay, let me get off. Let me get off. We got to help each other. That's all. We got to help each other. But when we help each other, we don't help each other by tearing them down. Because then the scripture talks about children obey your parents, right? Y'all know that one, right? Because the parents always use that one. The Bible says you better obey your parents. Hold up now. There wasn't a period at the end of that. It says, oh, by the way, this is what God said, parents. Don't provoke your children. But wait a minute, that doesn't fit me. They're acting all crazy. I got to get crazy on them. Don't be provoking them either. It's like you're going to go over there and be poking at that beehive and think you're not going to get stung. Oh, you won't get stung. When you poke this generation nowadays, we even got teachers that don't even want to correct the students no more. Because we got a society that says you can't correct the students. I remember growing up in school that when they would bring that ruler, you know that ruler, the wooden ruler that had that metal thing on the edge in there? It was deep in there. And then when they say, hey, pop! And they used to have those teachers that put your hand out.
Oh, no!
Put your hand out. You already crying before they hit you. Had this one teacher, she looked at me, she said, put your hands out. I ain't putting it out. Oh, really? You think, okay. So she waited. Almost elementary. I remember my youth. Almost elementary. Put your hands out. Okay, kids, we're going to get ready to go to recess. We're going to go early today. We go early. Who wants to be the leader? Come pick up they used to have a basket that we could take outside that has a ball. Come pick up and line up in front of everybody. And then everybody follow Marty, because Marty's going to be the leader today. So what am I doing? She gets it really. He's not getting rewarded. He's getting... dropped everything, right? Ball's falling everywhere. She goes, now get to the back of the line. I remember this. I was traumatized by it. I won't go read this no more. But I guarantee you this, I never acted up again. Not only did she did what she said she was going to do, but she made everybody else see what I did, and out of disobedience. See, y'all see, God can get real deep with you if you just pay attention. I never liked that teacher. But listen, we got to understand that we have to care for one another. Amen? Care for one another. We should have that model. Y'all know that movie, The Three Musketeers? One for all and all for one. Not just one for me and none for you. All of me and none of you. It's all about me and not you. It's all about me and not y'all. Look at me and not at you. God is saying, would you stop all that, Marty? That's why you got a big old head, son. He talked to me like that. I said, hey, you made me. Walk around the corner, people know it's me because the shadow casts it like that. Oh, that's Marty. Big old head. Yeah. He says, I had to make your head big because you got too much going on. Every time you fall, because you fall a lot and you're scared of heights, you get up and you climb up a tree, you don't know how to get back down. So when you fall and you bump your head, I know it's going to be okay. So look at my cousin Chunky. He climb up the tree fast. Hey, man, wait for me. And I always be the one falling down or crying from the tree. Help me out! Help me! I always hit my head, so I got bumps, and I got the calyx, not a calyx, because I got a bump right here. You got a big old head because I got to protect what's inside of you. Yeah, looking at me like, really? No, I'm playing. I promise to get you out of here early today. I do. I promise. And I want to rush this. Listen, we need to have that. We're all for one, okay? Yes. And one for all. Number two, team members must communicate. Number two, mira, número dos, tenemos que hablar con nosotros. That's what I said, comunicar con sus amigos. Tenemos que comunicar con la gente de la iglesia. I think I'm saying stuff right, I'm not sure. But listen, we gotta communicate. Some of us have communication barriers. Called attitude. So yeah, real quick, y'all were like, go ahead, you sing in Spanish. Attitude. Oh, shoot. We have attitude, and we don't want to communicate with each other in the body of Christ. Because we're not team players. We're team leaders. Who are you leading when you're by yourself? When you got no accountability, who are you leading? When you're leading people the wrong way based on what you want to get out of them. Oh, hell. Hell speaking now, right? Hell speaking. I haven't. Hell. Because we get caught up with some people that have been walking through hell enough. They put hell on you. They put all on you because they've been bitter, mad, and upset because things ain't going right. And then you think that's the word of the Lord. It ain't the word of the Lord. Did it edify you? Did it lift you up? Did it build you up? Did it encourage you? No, you're walking around with your head to do, oh my goodness, I'm never going to get it right. I got to sow this money to this pastor because he said so. Y'all missing it. We don't know how to communicate with each other because we're afraid to open up to each other. To let them know, hey, I'm going through. I just need you to pray. And then when they want to give you a prophetic word, say, I didn't call you for a prophetic word. I got God. I got God. I just need to pray. I need you to pray for me. Don't give me another word. I've got all of them right here in all the books. I just need someone to pray with me. And then when you break down that attitude barrier, you're able to say, thank you. That's a hard word for some people. You can say thank you for the ones that prayed you through. You can say thank you to the ones that have helped you. You can say thank you to the ones that have encouraged you. Ain't nothing wrong with you saying thank you. Ain't nothing wrong with you saying thank you, Mom, Dad, that you take care of us. Ain't got nothing coming from the kids in here. I got nothing coming from the kids in here. That's why God got y'all on Wednesday. Uh-huh. If y'all weren't here on Wednesday, oh, the kids got it on Wednesday. They were sitting there in the chair, and then God got a hold of them. Don't worry. All you adults, don't start laughing because you were up here too. Look, if we're able to communicate with each other, you're able to say thank you. And you kids can tell your parents thank you for protecting, for praying, for feeding, for clothing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't get mad. Well, look here. Don't make me go with y'all of your electronics. Uh-huh. Because if you think that those, I'm just going to stay here for a little bit because I feel like a little prodding coming on. Mm-hmm. You think that you deserve a phone because everybody else has a phone? Oh, you think you deserve to have the upgraded one and Mom and Dad got to take the lesser one? Because everybody in school has the new iPhone 15. I got to have it because, you know, they just keep on making new stuff. Right now. Now, you want to make sure that you're thanking your parents for what you have right now. So that they understand that you're grateful for what they've already worked hard for you. Yes. Hello, children. I don't need the adults saying amen. I want to hear the children in here.
Amen.
Amen. Look at it. Look. Because if you think you could get it all on your own. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go try it. I want to get a new iPhone. Do you have credit? How old are you? 13. Baby, go talk to your mom and dad. I did. They said no. Then the answer is no. But you know what? The new iPad came out. Can I get an iPad? How old are you? 12. I was 8. Nowadays, it's, you know, 4 years old, they already know how to operate everything. And we're going to the 4-year-old. Can you show me how to do this? Yeah. But look. But if we can't communicate with our kids and letting them know we love you, but just because the next new thing is out doesn't mean I got to get it to you. How about just saying thank you, Mom, for loving me and taking time to talk to me about that little boy, the little girl, that, or the group, or the teacher, or the grades. You fill in the blanks. Come on, children, I'm just trying to help you. Thank your parents, they work hard. Thank them, learn to communicate. It starts in the home. That's where it starts. Ooh. You don't get mad at them when their grades are failing and you ain't taking time with them. Mm-mm. How dare you bring a C? That was an A for me. I'm passing, baby. I'm passing. I'm passing because you ain't helping. It's true, right? I'm going to hit you between the eyes. You're only getting a C because you're not applying yourself to do better. But if you don't have anybody else pushing you to do better, you'll just stay where you're at. Yes. We have always got to do better and realize the potential that's inside of us. And I'm not talking to the kids no more. I'm talking to you team members in here. Is you can do more. Once you get past the attitude, you can get into gratitude. And when you get into gratitude, you can do so much more. Amen. Amen. Number 3, your rights must take second place. I'm going to say that one again. Your rights must take second place. The team success must always be greater must have a greater value than your own. Get rid of the I'll do it myself because I do it better attitude. Get rid of that. And I'm talking to myself because y'all don't have that attitude. Y'all don't have that. Only pastor has that attitude. I can only do it. Let me do it because I know I'll get it done. I'll get it done right. Let me do it. And the Lord said, really? So what y'all don't understand is I'm able to multitask easily. Easily. I could run projects all over the country with my phone and my computer and run 3 construction crews in 1 renovation in Florida, 1 in California, and 1 in Tucson. And I would have different projects that I was running. I could multitask easy, not a problem. So I come into the church. It was easy for me. I could do everything, no problem, multitask, and go on and do it until about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, this is no lie, this is honest truth. Your pastor hit a brick wall. I said, God, what? I forgot to do this. Lord, I forgot to do this. Lord, I forgot to do that. What is going on with me? He says, you're going to continue to forget unless you start giving it away. Put things in order. Quit asking them who will want to do it and make them do it. Because if they really have your heart, they'll do it. If they really have the vision that what God has shown them, then they'll go ahead and say, you know what, let me be part of the team and make the dream work. I said, I don't know, God, I've been asking that for 4 years, and I don't know if that's going to happen. He says, just do it. Okay. So we start having meetings with our leaders. And guess what you're going to do? What? You're taking over this. Here you go. You're taking over that. And I want the calendars 2 months in advance. I want to see advance. I don't want to go back to the way of forgetting, doing it last minute. I want you guys to give me all this information, make sure it's ahead of me, and then I want you to give it to the administrator, and the administrator will get it to me. I don't want to mess with that no more. Here I'm thinking, that's it. They're going to quit. They're going to run out of here and say, you're giving me too much. I'm not getting paid. I'm just volunteering. You're not even paying me. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go someplace where I'm appreciated. That was my fear. That was my fear. And then everybody that I handed it to, boom, before the next day, I had everything already for 2 months.
Amen.
Are you serious? And God said, you see, if you trust me, I will do it. I said, I like this. What else can I do? He says, well, what else do you want? I said, well, God, I want the hospitality not to be just about donuts, coffee, and stuff. I love that here. I really want to do our conference to represent what I know how to do. I want the conferences to be represented in a way when they walk away from the house of manna, they say, man, God is in that place.
Yes,
there's excellence in everything that they do. They take their time and the effort that everything that they see is like, wow, God is represented well.
Amen.
That's what I want, God. I don't have room here to do a conference style where I can feed them. Remember that, John? Remember how we used to feed all the pastors coming through? And it wasn't 2 or 3. We used to have 15 pastors and their family that we had to cook for. And we used to feed. And we'd have to go ahead and set up all the tables. I said, God, I know how to do all that, but you got to make a way. Come on now. Come on.
Amen.
Bonnie, let's put it this way. God made a way. Oh, he made a way.
Tell us.
So just the other day, I went to go meet up with Evangelist Ray. He goes, look, I need you to go and see something here. I think this will really help you in your ministry instead of paying so much money for the pastors to come in for your conference. I said, okay, what are you talking about? He goes, my spiritual daughter is the manager of this complex, and they just turned two of the apartments into corporate housing, fully furnished. I want you to come see it. I'm there. I will see you. I'm going over there. I'm going to go check it out. Okay, so Friday I go and check it out with Ray. I walk in there and she goes, hey, Pastor Marty. She's been to the conferences here and stuff. I was like, hey, how are you, Michelle? She goes, let me go show you. So we go in there and we walk into the apartment like, wow, 2-bedroom apartment, fully furnished, fully loaded. It looks like it's a model. I was like, wow. She goes, I'll give it to you $50. You want to do what?
$50.
I said, you got another one? She goes, yeah, $50. The other one's a 1-bedroom. I said, okay. And there's a 2-bedroom. We got 3 people that can come in here and be taken care of. That's just right down the road on Bandera. They can come right up here and come to the church real easy instead of putting them downtown. Now watch this. Oh, it don't stop there. You better listen. And I said, hey, the clubhouse. She goes, oh, what do you want to do? I said, I really would like to feed them and the team after the services. She goes, okay, you can use the clubhouse room. It's got like a little kitchenette. I said, little? That ain't little. Got a pool table and it's got tables and chairs and all that. I said, I want this. I want this. Can I have this? She goes, yeah. I said, after church service, like around 10 o'clock at night, it's going to be, she goes, no, I'll be at the conference. Then I'll leave early. Go open it up for you guys. If you're going to send your hospitality team over here to set up, we'll take care of that for you. Done deal. So I'm taking my honey. That's my honey. Yeah. And we're going to go check it out with our hospitality coordinator. We got a chef that is in-house. But we're going to do it right because we're all part of a team.
Yes, amen.
We're all part of a team. Now, have you guys ever seen that movie, The Mighty Ducks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim, yeah, say it now. All together now. Why is only this side of the team saying it? We're all part of the team. Come on. Quack. Still only this side. I want to hear it. This side is real quiet over here. Let me hear you. There you go. And then they're losing. They're losing in the game. And all of a sudden they're going quack, 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 quack. And then you hear the flying V. The flying V. Remember that? And all of a sudden now the hockey players get in this V formation. Right? You haven't seen the movie? Y'all should really look at it. It's a good movie. They call it the flying V. The flying V is taken from the formation of flying geese. Okay? Now watch this. They fly in a V formation. You probably didn't know this. The reason why they fly in a V formation is because when they're in formation, the leader doesn't have to struggle as hard, and the geese behind them don't have to struggle as hard either. It creates an updraft from the leader, and the ones that are following don't have to do it as long or as hard. So that updraft keeps them and gets them going further. And if the one that's in the front that gets tired, you'll see them rotate. They rotate. They rotate. So that the one that's always leading doesn't have to always lead. Everybody can lead in that formation and take that updraft to carry you further because they're doing it together. Watch this. You probably didn't know this. Have you ever seen geese take off like that? And then you hear the all the honking going. Wah, wah, wah. Guess who's doing the honking? The ones in the back. Because it's pushing the ones in front further. Cheering them on. You're my cheerleader, baby! Now watch this. And what's going on is saying, they're honking, saying, keep going. We got you. Keep going. And if you're tired, I'll come up in front and you can come and take a rest. You see, and if one that is wounded can't fly anymore, then the whole team goes down until the other one is ready to fly again. They don't leave it behind. They work together as a team to make the dream work. They don't leave behind. The one that may get wounded, they'll go down until he's able to fly again, and then they go back up into that formation. And the one that was wounded doesn't have to lead. It gets into the back, so it's making it easier to travel. Do you understand? God has been trying to get the church to come together in the V formation for victory. But we're so caught up with, look at me, look at me! Get me on TV and I'll do greater things. No, you won't. You get a bigger head. You got to do what God is telling you to do, where He's telling you to do it. And with the people that He's already given you to do it with. So that when you come together as a team, you can make so many more things happen for the kingdom of God. Do you understand? Do you really understand? The team isn't just church. The team is family. The team is your job, your school. It's what you make of it that is going to determine the end result. For those of you that don't like going to school, you teenagers, if you hate it and dislike it, you're going to continually hate it and dislike it until you change your perspective on what it's there for. It's to help you and to prepare you for your adulthood. If you don't like school, you're definitely not going to like the responsibility that is coming afterwards. Because it's going to hit you between the eyes, because life goes on. It does not wait for you to get things in order. It still comes at you. So take what God has given you in your education to use it for your future. And if you're saying, but I have a dream, everything works together for the things that God has in store for you. Everything. How many of you went to school and you have your degree? Come on. Come on. Didn't it feel good when you finished and you said, I did it. I accomplished it and I finished it. Because what you start and what you finish is because God has helped you through it. Amen. He can do it. Now, you teenagers in here, will you stand, please? Will you stand? Please stand. Sit down, John. You're not a teenager. All right, all you adults in here, you better stand up. I want you guys to extend your hands to this generation. Extend your hands to them. So you're going to make it. We're praying for you. We're believing in you. And we're not going to stop praying for you. We're not going to stop believing in you. We're here to help you because we're part of a team. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to wrap this up next week. You don't have to wear your jerseys next week, but I know that the teamwork is very important. God is trying to get us to a place in the kingdom of God that we can come gathered together for a common cause. And for that common cause, there's a common purpose that God has for the kingdom. And I know that there's some things that we get challenged on. That's life. It is life. Don't blame the devil for things. It's life. You know, the car breaks down. What is the devil doing? Did you take care of the car? You know, like change the oil? Get a tune-up? Rotate the tires? You know, there's maintenance that needs to be done, right, to extend the life of the car? But then there's times when you've done all of that. You've done all that you can do. And it still dies. And you've done the Shonda Shonda over the Honda. Amen. You've done the how to tie a bow tie over the Hyundai. And it still don't come to life. God is trying to get you to say, step out on faith, baby, because I got something bigger and better for you. And when you do it, watch that I am your provider. I am. That I am. And I will provide for you. I will. I know when God is doing something. I feel it. Does that mean that I understand it all? No. But I know when he's passing by, I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. Hey, hey, Jesus. Hey, hey. And everybody else is saying, hey, shut up, shut up, shut up. Uh-uh, Jesus. Hey, hey, I perceive you coming by. Help me. So he didn't see him, he just perceived. Your perception has to change. And when your perception changes, you won't let anybody tell you, be quiet. That's right. When Jesus is in the midst, you're going to say, I'm going to do everything I can to grab hold of him. I don't need you to tell me to be quiet. I need to get his attention. And how am I going to get his attention? I may not be able to see where I'm going, but somewhere around, I know he's there. And I know he's going to get me through. I may not be able to see, but if I can get a hold of him, I will see clearly again. I may be on a mat and I can't walk, but if I perceive that he's somewhere nearby, all I'm going to ask, will you help me?
by and then let him just walk on by. You have got to cry out to him like never before. And you have got to say, God, if you do nothing else, I want to see Jesus be glorified and be highly exalted for what he's already done. Because if we take our focus off of Jesus, we will miss the very thing that God has had in store for us. If you're caught up in the glory cloud and all the gems and the oil and the gold dust, those are beautiful, but it's not Jesus. Those are purely manifestations that tell you you're doing something right. So keep doing what you started doing, and manifestations will happen. And when it begins to happen, don't even pull your phone out or your camera to start taking pictures, because Jesus has been here all along. And we can keep our heart of worship unto Jesus, say, Jesus, you are that reason. Regardless of what you manifest, you're the reason why it manifested. It's when heaven begins to touch earth that we see different manifestations. But what we did to get that manifestation was right. Keep your heart and your eyes inclined to Jesus and watch as heaven begins to open up all around you. And then when all that manifestation happens, you can ask Elisha, why didn't you look at the manifestation? Because I was told to keep my eyes on Elijah, a representation of Jesus, because Jesus is being taken up. And if you can keep your eyes when I'm being taken up, regardless of the distraction, I'll give you a double portion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Keep your eyes on Jesus. On Jesus. Life is going to happen around you. But he's trying to teach you, look, look, and keep your eyes on me, because I'm about to do something great, because I love you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Guarantee you, I can guarantee you one thing. Y'all might want to start showing up early to church, because I have put a petition before God. I said, fill these seats. And I'll do whatever I got to do on my end as my responsibility to keep things in order. But God, I petition you to fill the seat so people can hear your message, receive what you have for them, and to be touched in a way like never before. I hope you understand that Jesus is that very one that can change your life. And if you don't know Jesus, right now is a good time for you to say, yes, Lord. Because I do believe. That Mexican was a little crazy, but you know what? Something he said about Jesus just hit my spirit. That's the spirit of God saying Jesus is for real. Now's that time to say yes, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Well, that's all the time, folks, that we have for the House of Manna podcast today. We bless you. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you, and may the Lord continue to shine his face upon you. Favor is on your side.